Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who bringeth forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff on the summer threshing floor, which the wind driveth away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Friends, that is the first division of the tremendous book of Psalms. Let's look at this and see if there are not some matters here that would give us food for thought, enable us maybe to make some corrections in our lives. The first chapter here begins with the word blessed. Now, that's an interesting word. The footnote, by the way, says happy. Happy? Yes. Happy is the man. You know, sometimes people today looking about, and certainly we live in turbulent times. There's no question about this. There are conditions in the world that we wish did not exist, yet they are here. And we see many things done in our land, crimes that are perpetrated. I mean, innocent people that are imposed upon. If we aren't careful, we think negatively. But this verse says, happy. Christian, the man of God, is... someone says, how could a man in our world today be happy? Do you remember Philippians 4 at verse 4? And Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your forbearance, your patience, be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. Nothing be anxious, but in all things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, through verse 7. Now, let's notice what he's saying. Rejoice in the Lord always. Well, someone says, preacher, you've just mentioned the things in this world that would be opposed to our ability to rejoice. No, listen. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know, it's an interesting thing. If we aren't very careful, we simply think in terms of the material, the mundane, the earthly, the immediate. We're governed by the physical senses. But friends, if you just stop and look around you, nothing here endures. Nothing here will last. Even your old physical body appointed unto man wants to die. Hebrews 9, verse 27. Well, we understand that. And if you place the emphasis on the material... You're right. There's really very little occasion for happiness and joy in this whole world. But now, Paul is writing to Christians, and what did he say? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearance, that's patience. Oh, I remember that Jesus said, Luke 21, verse 19, in your patience, you shall win your souls. That word patience has a footnote also. It's steadfastness. Continue to do the Lord's will. Continue in your dedication to the accomplishment of His will. What was the statement here? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your patience be known unto all men. And the basis for this, the Lord's here. Right? The Lord is at hand. I remember in Matthew 14, his disciples on that boat, you know, and the wind is blowing, and the waves are rising, and it's looking dangerous, and Jesus came walking on the water. Well, of course, their first thoughts are negative. They thought they were seeing a ghost, and he said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Wait, what? Friends, right in the midst of the storm, Jesus said to his disciples, I'm here. Yes, but now when we think about it, who is this? He just spoke to the wind, and like that, it's calm. He speaks to the sea, and you can see your image reflected in the calm surface. Friends, this is the Creator of heaven and earth. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. If I dedicate my life to the Lord, if I give myself in service to my fellow man with a Christ-like disposition, I don't have to be overly concerned with material things. Oh, sure. Yes, things are going to happen that you don't like. And there will be conditions that will bring pain and suffering to the physical body. The Christian is not exempt from material matters, but the Christian is aware that nothing here is permanent. Made in the image and the likeness of God, you and I will live forever. Well, then, this is the preparation that we make while we tabernacle in the flesh. Oh, and if my faith in the Lord is as it should be, then I have confidence in Him. What was it the Hebrew writer said, chapter 13, verse 5? Oh, be ye free from the love of money, content with such things as you have. For Himself hath said, I'll never forsake thee, neither will I in any wise leave thee. I can say then with good cheer, the Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear? What shall man do unto me? When you really think about it, things are not material primarily. No, they are spiritual. The material is temporary. Oh, and many difficulties and hardships and problems come along. What was it the psalmist said? Blessed, happy is the man. Which man is blessed? Is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, there's something about that statement that's interesting. Do you notice the progressiveness of our departure from the Lord? The progressiveness of sin in that statement? Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. When we begin to give our thinking to the things material in nature, we're governed simply by the principles, characteristic of the average person in this old world. We're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, if you do that a while, the first thing you know, you're standing there with them. Yes, sir, soaking it up. Or standeth in the way of sinners. And then the first thing you know, you're sitting in the seat of the scornful, of the scoffer. I mean, you're making light of people who try to do the right thing. You're making it difficult for spiritual-minded folk to exhibit the characteristics of Christ, you say. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, progressive in a descending form. Yes, sir. Get right down to the bottom. Well, I remember that Paul said, be not deceived. Evil companions corrupt good morals. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 at verse 33. Now, what are you telling me, Paul? Be careful of your associates. As a matter of fact, be careful of the conduct or attitude that characterizes the people with whom you associate. Now, there are many people in the world that are fine folk. There's no question about that, and good friends. As if they're very helpful. Sure, they're sacrificial, philanthropic. I mean, they help their fellow man. They're good people. You can be friends. Be very careful, though. In your association with people of the world, if we aren't very, very careful, we begin to think as they think. Oh, and there are some people in the world who are negative toward things that are decent and upright, or especially toward things that are spiritual in nature. Evil companions corrupt good morals. Someone says, well, I can handle it. I mean, I know. How did he preface that statement there? 1 Corinthians 15:33. Don't be deceived. Be not deceived. I'm human. I'm limited in my abilities. Be not deceived. Evil companions corrupt good morals. You know, that's one of the blessings of fellowship in the body of Christ, associated with pure-minded Christians. Oh, no, not perfect people, but people who've been cleansed from sin in the blood of Christ, who have a common goal. If these are your friends, if these are your companions, your closest associates, then from them you receive courage and instruction. And you are able to walk with the Lord circumspectly without the negative influences of this old world. That's what John's talking about when he said, 1 John 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, John, wait a minute. Are you telling me I'm not to love the people of the world? No. Our work is in the world. Each person is an immortal soul, a precious soul, for whom Jesus Christ died. We love the souls of men. That's not what he's talking about. Listen to him as he explains. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now listen, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride or the vainglory of life. Now, these are not of the Father, but of the world. The world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. Oh, then we need to emphasize that which is spiritual. We need to concentrate upon a thus saith the Lord. Let's get back to Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And not just in a passing way, on his law doth he meditate day and night. There is no substitute for the knowledge and application of the contents of this wonderful book called the Biblios, Book of Books. It is the Word of God. Every scripture inspired of God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly, that's thoroughly or completely furnished unto every good work. How can I be happy? Blessed is the... Oh, I just apply the principles contained in this book. For instance, if we just selected one or two statements from the Bible, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and who are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good to whom? Oh, those who love the Lord and who are the called according to His. Someone says, preacher, you've mentioned earlier that there are many things in this world that are not pleasant. As a matter of fact, the Christian is not exempt from physical disease or terminal illness. Well, we have... Well, certainly, we endure all of that. As a matter of fact, I remember that Paul said, yea, and all who would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Oh, no question about that. What did he say, though, in Romans 8:28? Oh, he said, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and who are the called according to His purpose. But, preacher, there are many things that are detrimental. There are many things that are hurtful, that are harmful, that cause pain. And, sure, that's all physical. That's not who I am. No. I'm an immortal spirit made in the image and the likeness of God. How can I find peace and contentment? What was it he said there? Philippians chapter 4? In nothing be anxious, verse 6. But in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The result, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Friends, if only men would turn to the Lord, give themselves in humble obedience to His will. Sure, we have duties here. Yes, sir. This is the area of our service. This is where we promote His cause in the hearts of men and women. We preach the truth, sow the seed of the kingdom, Luke 8, verse 11, in the hearts of men and women. If we could just get men to turn to the Lord, to understand that everything here is temporary. My journey in this old world is very, very limited. It's very, very brief. Where do I put the emphasis? Well, I remember that Jesus said, what shall a man be profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Matthew 16, verse 26. He missed the point. The world and the fullness thereof belong to God. And it is amazing that the old physical man just eats one meal at a time. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things be added to you. In the work that you do as a faithful child of God, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in the fear of God, then you have the increase necessary to provide for these physical things. And that work, that's a part of Christianity. And in the meantime, you live your life so as to influence others for good. You place the emphasis on the spiritual, not upon the physical. Blessed is the man who concentrates upon a thus saith the Lord, who governs his life by the instruction contained in God's Word. What was it Paul said in Philippians 1, verse 21? Oh, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You see, that's what life's all about. If it's just this life, we of all people are most pitiable, Paul said, ridiculous. You are an immortal spirit. You're going to live forever. You remember that scene of the judgment, Matthew 25, beginning at verse 31, terminates in verse 46. You remember what is said in verse 46? These, those on the left hand, shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Oh, the same word is descriptive of the duration of both places. Right, eternal. You and I will live forever. Then where should I place the emphasis while I tabernacle in this body of clay? It won't last. I remember that Paul made a statement, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for the moment. What are you talking about, Paul? Light affliction. Man, you were beaten 5 times, 39 stripes each by the Jews. You were beaten with the Roman rod 3 times. Paul, you were stoned at Lystra, drug out of the city and left for dead. What do you mean, light affliction? Oh, that's all in the body. That's all in the flesh. That's temporary. That won't last. Sure, painful. Oh, no question about that. Yes, sir. And embarrassing. Oh, absolutely. Well, it's... Oh, the Christian suffers all of those things, but that has really no bearing upon his eternal welfare. What did you say, Paul? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. And for our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, where we place the emphasis. What did you say, Lord? If you gain the whole world and lose your soul, you miss the whole point. Well, Paul said, while we place the emphasis not upon the material, the mundane, the earthbound, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. And I don't have to belabor that point. I don't have to prove that to you. You can buy a new tool, expensive. I mean, it does a good job. And you work with, hey, keep it long enough, use it long, wears out. You have to replace it. Same thing here. This thing is wearing out. And good friend, it is wearing out rapidly. Yeah, that's not bad, that's good. Because at the terminus of this, life begins. That's where this eternal word comes in. You and I will live forever. Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. Notice the viewpoint. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. And for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, and we know if the earthen house of this tabernacle be dissolved, and it will be. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Isn't that wonderful? No wonder that psalmist started that chapter like this. Happy, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is the man who is not governed by external material matters, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Ah, that's permanent. That speaks to the eternal nature of man. Oh, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. You see, herein is found the secret to happiness. Herein is found the solution to man's problems. What was it Paul said? Every scripture inspired of God profitable for teaching, instruction. It governs my thinking, my conduct, my attitude, my actions. Sure, this is complete. then I need to meditate day and night upon the Word of God. This is within the heart. Place the emphasis where it belongs. A sudden blessing, unexpected, comes. First thing you think about, thank you, Lord. Keep the Word of God in your heart and mind by reading, meditating thereupon. Read it regularly. If you don't do that, you can't meditate on God's Word. It's out of the question. Oh, that's why we need to give time to the simple reading of God's Word. Jesus said, I'm the bread that came down out of heaven, of which a man may eat and live forever. Oh, he said, the bread which I give is my flesh for the life of the world. In verse 51, in John chapter 6. What is he saying? Where a testament is, there must of necessity be the death of him that made it. For a testament is a force where there hath been death, for it doth never avail while he that made it liveth. Oh, Hebrews 9, 16 and 7. Christ, by his death, validated, made authoritative his last will and testament. Oh, and herein is everything essential to my instruction, my enlightenment, my conduct, my attitude, my... Read it every day. And I remember that he continued there in John chapter 6. He said, he that eateth not my flesh and drinketh not my blood hath not life in himself. Oh, that's verse 53. But he said in verse 54, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. What's he saying? Those who take advantage of that which is made available through my death and resurrection will live. That's this last will and testament. These are the words of life. This is the spiritual spring at which we are to drink deeply. It is wonderful indeed what God has done for those who will give their hearts to Him. No, I can't endure forever in this life. If I place all of the emphasis here, death is indeed going to be a very sad occasion. There's no question. Because, you see, following physical death is perfection. You're made in the image and the likeness of God. You're equipped for perfect bliss or perfect punishment. Friends, it is vital that we place the emphasis upon a thus saith the Lord. Meditate day and night upon His Word. What does His Word say to me? Just a sinner. I'm to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How can I believe that? Read the book. Friend, there's no way to deny this is the will of God. I believe it with all my heart. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What did He say to a believer? Well, except you repent, you'll perish. Make up your mind that you don't want to walk in sin and error. You want to be like Him who loved you enough to die to redeem your soul. Well, then to confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart is no problem. Acts chapter 8, verse 37, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. Oh, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, 16. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Give your life to the Lord. Meditate upon His Word.